day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone. Absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God. And I've had a lot of conversations this week about a number of things. I talked to some fellows in Australia and New Zealand. I've talked to people around the country about things like capitalism, which has gotten a really bad name. And we talked about that a little bit last week and the week before in this Banking on the Kingdom series. That there are certain people that have been floating around for over a century now that have hated capitalism. And they have been working steadily at giving capitalism a bad name. And one of the ways they do this is they create something else that is not really capitalism, and they call it capitalism, such as corporate capitalism. Corporate capitalism is not really capitalism. State-controlled capitalism is not really capitalism. capitalism, if you look up almost every single definition, whether you're going to Marx or Wikipedia or Google, it almost always includes a phrase like the base is private ownership of what they often call the means of production. And, of course, the means of production is not like, metal and wood and things like that. It's your labor, because nothing gets produced without your labor. So the control and possession of your labor is essential for capitalism. Now, if you say, well, I have control of half of my labor, and half of my labor I don't own, I don't have a right to it. Well, you're not working in capitalism except for half the time. And I tell the story about when I was 7 years old and I asked my father who he worked for, and he said until July 1st he worked for the government. After that he worked for himself. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I didn't know what that meant, but my father would give me answers like that even when I was seven. And then I would, 20 years later, I finally, oh, that's what he meant. Fortunately, I remembered those events, but he was in a 50% income tax bracket, so he all the money that he earned for the first half of the year went to the government, and the second half of the year he got to work for himself. And so, he was just very precise. He was a lawyer, and, when he would answer a question, he would give you the actual answer, but not always so that you could understand it, which I guess is kind of a lawyer tactic. But the reality, he would tell you the truth and put it in a way that eventually it did sink in, and I figured out what he was talking about. And there's a lot of people that are simply triggered by vocabulary. They don't. They say things that they don't really understand, and they repeat them, and they believe them, and they think they're true, and they go through life following what they imagine is true, but is really a fallacious way of thinking about something. And one of those things was capitalism. Capitalism is simply the private ownership of the means of production, which means your labor. That's what capitalism is. Now, you can add all kinds of things to that because it's only an economic element of a society. It's not a society in itself. It's not socioeconomic until you make it socioeconomic. It's not political until you make it political. And then when you start making it political and socioeconomic, then you've changed it. You know, if the state can take half your labor away, you're not living in a capitalist society. You're living in a pseudo-capitalist society. If you do not own that you build a house and you do not own it, you have to pay somebody else if you want to keep using it. You do not live in a capitalist society because you're not in control of the means of production, at least some of the means of production. And when you were in bondage in Egypt, you did not live in a capitalist society. The money you had in your pocket had no present value. They were using all kinds of things as money in those days, little clay scarabs and what have you with numbers on them. They still haven't figured out all of these little clay scarabs that they found with these numbers on them. But they were used as money. They had no value except in Egypt. It's a clever way of keeping the people in bondage. They did the same thing in Sparta. You couldn't have gold and silver money in Sparta. Even Hitler knew that. The gold in the hands of the people is the enemy of the state because they would have value. And, of course, when Aaron was building the golden calf and the people were taking their gold that they had left Egypt with and putting it in the golden calf, they were on their way back to Egypt in spirit and truth because they were taking the wealth out of their pocket, which is part of the means of production. You know, if you wanted to, you know, set up a sawmill, you would maybe need some tools. If you were going to produce these things, and so you could take some of your gold and buy the tools from a guy who could make the tools, and then you could set up your industry, like a weaving industry. You were going to make tents, like Paul. Well, you need lots of looms. You need to buy lots of wool and goat hair in order to spin that wool so that you can weave it into tents to make your canvas material. So you would have some gold and you could buy some of those things. Otherwise, you have to make everything yourself. We have this idea that, you know, big industry was invented in the 1800s. And you can go back to the ancient Rome and they were building sailing ships that could carry tens of thousands of tons of grain, of stone. Hundreds of sailors, hundreds and hundreds of passengers on these ships. They were gigantic. It's not like you see in the movies. Some of them were huge. And they were able to do this because they were highly industrious. They would put up grist mills, not just one, you know, that was operating by water coming from the river. They would build whole canals for miles to bring water to a hilltop where they had this fall going down to the river. They take the water from way upstream, and then the water would go through one grist mill, turning the wheel, grinding the grain. Then it would fall down and go through another one farther down the hill, and then it would go through another one farther down the hill, and another one farther down the hill, and then make two rows of these grist mills, grinding grain. And they had barges that they would load the grain on to bring it to the mill and barges to load the flour on to take it out to the cities. And then they would also be baking the bread in giant ovens and then putting huge stamps on the bread to signify who made it. They were a very complex society. They didn't have the internal combustion engine, but they were very practical. And they were capitalists. And Christ was a capitalist. Israel was a capitalist society. They were to keep their gold and silver, the valuable money that they had in their pocket, not like it was in the bondage of Egypt. They owned all their labor. They had a right to all of their labor. There was no income tax in ancient Israel or amongst the early Christians. Because to desire benefits at the expense of your neighbor would be like some sort of covetous practice, and it would probably make you merchandise. You could go to Rome and you could get a lot of free bread. They gave out free bread all the time. And you would go to the temples, which were government buildings, to get that free bread. But Christians wouldn't do that. They had another way of rightly dividing the bread from house to house. They had a network of ministers. Today, the modern church goes to Rome and says, can we have free bread? And, of course, he will give you free bread. And we talked about that in the last show, how so many people, I was shocked to find out that many states were refusing federal funding to expand their unemployment program because they knew that it was keeping people from going back to work. It was making people lazy and slothful because it was cheaper. They were making as much money on unemployment as they would if they went back to work. And so you couldn't get people to go back to work. Horrible, horrible. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to, you know, we mentioned Edward Mendelhaus. And, you know, I've expanded the webpage on him. And we have some recordings up. I can probably put up some more recordings. I guess we have a couple on him already. But he hated capitalism. And he also hated the Constitution. Because he said the Constitution was protecting, was part of the safeguards of capitalism. And he didn't want capitalism. But he was a banker. Aren't bankers, you know, and own corporations? Aren't people who own banks and corporations, aren't they all capitalists? Because when you talk to people who hate capitalism, they look at the bankers and they say, see, that's capitalism. No, actually, there are no banks engaged in capitalism today because capitalism requires that you actually have capital, actually have value. And today, we don't have value. We don't have capital. We have debt notes. And debt notes aren't capital. They're not. They have no present value, and like we said in previous shows, and we've written in the articles, and we've quoted the Federal Reserve itself says that Federal Reserve notes have no value, unquote. Quote, unquote. I got little air quotes here. Federal Reserve notes have no value. Well, if they have no value, they're not capital. Because in capitalism, you can't have fictional value, and Marx talks about that. That, you know, he talks about this fictional value. That's not real value. So anyway, there's a lot to all this. In order to get it into your head, I'm throwing out little pieces that will be like stepping stones that we will use to get across this river of confusion that has been coming down to us, not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not for 50 years, but for over 100 years, confusion has been sowed. And actually, if you go to our article on schools as tools at preparingyou.com, you can read how the Reese Commission uncovered a plot by people like Colonel Edward Mendelhaus and the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Guggenheim Foundation, and all these different philanthropic groups that were meeting because they didn't like capitalism either. Edward Mendelhaus was a confirmed Marxist and the advisor to Woodrow Wilson. And we're going to talk about another advisor to Woodrow, he did know of Woodrow Wilson, but actually to FDR today. So that you begin to understand what happened. Because it's actually all in black and white. There's people who have written books about it, people that were firsthand on the scene when we wrote the book, Covenants of the Gods. we actually went and read the book by the guy who wrote the Social Security Act and what he thought of it and why they did things the way they did. So all the information is there, but you're not going to get it if you're sending your kids to public school or if you went to public school because of what the Reese Commission uncovered about the fact that these wealthy men gathered as early as 1908 and began to change the way in which Americans viewed history. This is not, CRT, critical race theory. This was way back then. And this has been uncovered time and time again. But why don't you know more about it? And why the people who know a little bit about it are more dangerous than the people who don't know anything about it? Because the people who know a little bit about it are spreading misinformation because they do not look at the truth in depth. They do not want to know the whole truth. And, of course, that is the definition of a lie, is not the whole truth. That's why they always say, will you tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Because without the whole truth, you're hearing lies. And so, anyway, I've added more to that page on Mr. House, and you can find that at Preparing You, along with the audios that we did, kind of covering him, because I've added more and more. And I could do the same thing with people like Warburg, who started the Federal Reserve System, and we could just go on and on and on into all kinds of great detail, but we'll never get around to the way back. I'm only telling you how we got here, so that you can find your way back. Because there's a lot of people out there trying to tell you this is the way back or that is the way back, and they're getting people lost out in the woods. They're getting people into more and more trouble. They're going from the frying pan into the fire. And the amazing thing is, Moses freed tens of thousands of people. Jesus freed millions of people. And Jesus, if you would actually follow the way of Jesus, you would be headed back towards freedom and liberty under God too. But you have to actually understand what he said and do what he said. And that's another amazing thing that we're constantly uncovering and showing people. And the fellow from Australia and New Zealand, one was from a very religious background, the other one not so much. But they were both questioning and wondering about things. And we'll try to put that recording up. We actually have a video of it. But my video editor has left for the week. He won't be back. So we'll try to get that up. But if you want to be in on those announcements, because we're getting into an area that will be censored, and we'll show you how some of that censoring is taking place today. But we need to create our own alternative network. And there's lots of networks out there, and we don't want to be dependent upon any of them. I mean, like software networks. We don't have the funds, to create our own Gitter or Rumble or all those things, but we will be on those things. But we need to create an actual living network that isn't even dependent upon the Internet. And that won't just send you pictures of food, but can actually help you when there is food shortages or when you need aid with your health. You're going to need a living network of people who care about you as much as you care about them. But, of course, if you don't care about other people, you already have that network. Which is why you just went through 2 years of lockdowns and masks and everything else. The amazing thing is that people are such a scattered flock that they had no real effective way of preventing the abuses that we have seen in the last couple of years that have caused thousands, even millions, and will probably cause millions of more deaths. Because you haven't been following the ways of Christ for 100 years or more. And you don't even know them, even though they're right there in the Bible. And the ways of Christ is the way back. And even if you're a Jew, the ways of Moses, if you actually knew Moses, not like the Pharisees did, not like many of the modern Christians do, because many of the modern Christians have looked at the Old Testament and saw it in the eye, through the eyes of the Pharisees. The Pharisees read it, got it completely wrong. Other people, like the Essenes, whoever they are, whatever they were, because that's hard to tell from this point of view, but they seem to have seen it. They certainly saw it different than the Pharisees, and saw the Pharisees' interpretation as the fiction and the fraud, and Jesus saw there was a problem with it too, and eventually even Paul began to realize that the way in which they looked at the Old Testament was entirely incorrect, and we have lots of articles to show you why. But they all point back to the ways of Christ. But you have to ask, you can't just say Lord, Lord in your churches or your home churches. You actually have to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And a lot of people don't know what righteousness is, which brings us back to those people who think that capitalism is bad. And I understand why they think that, because there's been such a concerted effort to destroy the idea of capitalism. So anyway, I had a page that I worked on this morning, got up, I was working on it last night at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, and then I got up again at 5 o'clock and started working on it some more. But it was a page called Pacta Servanda Sunt, which is Latin for agreements must be kept. And this is a major part of the Bible. This is a principle in the Bible, which is why we're told in the Ten Commandments not to be making agreements, why Jesus said stop the taking of oaths, why James said, swear not, and above all else, stop the taking of oaths. That's what James says. Well, because you're making agreements, and those agreements you will be held to. Joseph made an agreement with the Pharaoh and with the people, his own brothers, and, of course, their families and, their households, which may have been hundreds of people. And he made agreements that put them in bondage for over 400 years, kept them in bondage for over 400 years. And then Moses came along and was going to set them free, but they didn't know how to be free. And so there had to be plagues. And they had to remain in bondage and pay their tally of bricks, but learn to take care of one another. They had to, like I talked about in previous shows, you can go back and listen to those previous shows, but because I'm trying to follow a logical pattern to bring everybody up to speed, it would behoove you. We have all of our audios, hundreds and hundreds of them. You should be listening to those wherever you go and start getting the pieces of the puzzle together, and because we're trying to show you where the stumbling blocks are, where the confusion is coming from. But ultimately, where you really will understand the ways of liberty is when you start living them, which is why we say join the network, become a part of a living network of people that were doing what the early church was doing, what early Israel was doing, what what Abraham was doing when he was setting up his altars in all the communities round about him. If you start doing that, you will start understanding the way back, the road to freedom, the way of Christ. But we're going to have to set down a lot of preconceived notions as to what we think is the source of our freedom, what we think made America great, what makes any culture great. So, his brothers went into bondage because of an agreement. Have you made any agreements? Well, we're going to talk about some of those agreements and why they came about, who is behind them, but always we're going to keep in mind how to get back to liberty under God. That's our destination. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. If you look up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, even him... or verse 9, let's start there. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So who's Satan? It's an adversary of God. It's somebody who has a way that is counter to the way of God. That's what Satan is. You know, the synagogue of Satan was doing things according to different precepts. You know, they talk about that in the New Testament, the synagogue of Satan. They were doing things one way, but the synagogue of Christ, the gathering of Christ, the congregation of Christ, synagogue is just 10 families, was doing things a different way. So it says there in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So what are lying wonders? What's he talking about? And what are those powers? The actual word there is dunamis. He's actually talking about powers, not exousia. So what are they? Well, I'm not going to be able to tell you all that and keep moving. So we're going to read verse 10. And with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And see, this is, lots of people think they're saved. Many people are saying, Lord, Lord, but they don't want to hear the truth because you have to be willing to hear the truth. And why you are not willing to hear the truth is you don't really love the truth. And the truth can be painful, but you have to you know, being crucified is painful too. But you have to be willing to hear the whole truth. And that's just the beginning, because you still have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By verse 11, he's going on to say, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what's unrighteousness? Well, that's why we got the 10 statements to tell us what unrighteousness was, so that we could follow the righteousness of God. We are supposed to be seeking the righteousness of God, and God said in 10 statements, you know, don't kill. If you're killing people, if you're murdering people, that's unrighteous. You need to repent of that. And we just had a story on the news about abortion. We just had a story this week about somebody walking into a school and shooting all kinds of children. And people actually staying outside rather than going in and confronting. They could hear, they got calls from children on cell phones talking about being killed. You could hear gunfire going off and nobody's going in to save them. How did we get to this point? I don't want to condemn the police officers because I don't have all the facts. But the reality is what's happening to our society? When I was a kid, you could go down and buy a rifle and ammunition when you were a kid, put it on your bike, and ride back home carrying a rifle. Nobody was shooting anybody. They used to give shooting lessons in school. In the local school here, they did it. There's lots of people that would go bring their guns to school, kids, to practice shooting at school. There were actually gun ranges in some schools. Wow. And there weren't mass shootings. So there were actually, I heard the statistics, you know, of course we have different number of people in America, but the number of households that had guns has actually decreased in America, not increased. There's a lot more guns, there's a lot more people, but it's actually decreased. And people want to compare, well, wait, all we have to do is get rid of the guns and this will go away. That is insane. It is ridiculous. Something else is causing it, not the presence of guns. And, you know, it's kind of like going to the doctor and he gives you symptoms, you know, something to fight the symptoms of your illness. Not fight the illness, not help you overcome the illness, but just the symptoms of it. You know, it's kind of like you got a pain and they give you pain medication. They don't do anything about why you have the pain. They just make the pain go away. But then the problem hasn't been dealt with. And you have to deal with the problem. So, for this cause, that people did not want to, did not love the truth, did not want to hear the truth, a strong delusion came. It actually was sent by God, that they should believe a lie. But God doesn't want, he's not lying to you, he doesn't want you to believe the lie, but you have to love the truth, no matter how painful that truth is. Lots of the psychological problems that people have today, a lot of the dysphoria that they have today, is because they don't want to see the truth. And they want to make you go along with the lie that they want rather than see the truth. We see it manifested in lots of different levels, you know. People, you know, guys thinking they're girls and girls thinking they're guys. Of course, that's just one evidence of this difficulty in handling the truth. But the reality is, you know, maybe you don't have that problem, but what don't you see? In Thessalonians, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, what were those early Christians doing that the modern Christians are not doing? What are the modern Christians doing that the early Christians would not do, even under threat of death? They would not go to the government buildings of Rome and apply for free bread, the benefits of Caesar. They would not do that because they understood the truth of it. They knew what, you know, because they had read Proverbs, Proverbs 1, Proverbs 23. They did not have an appetite for the dainties of rulers. They did not want to take a bite out of one another. And, of course, how did we get to this state where now that's okay? People are accustomed to living at the expense of others and depending for their livelihood and the property of others and have thusly degenerated into perfect savages where a young boy goes into a schoolroom and kills all kinds of kids and adults, and other men stand outside quivering, feared, afraid to go in and save the children. There's a lot more things that you need to save your children from that nobody's doing. There's a lot of other confusion and deception that nobody wants to see. The strong delusion is pervasive throughout society. So we're going to look at some of those other places so that we are not so easily seduced by the adversaries of the way of God. So you can go read and listen to the audios on Edward Mendel House at Preparing You, but we're looking at this Pacta Sabanda Sunt. And as I mentioned before, that Joseph made an agreement, and the people agreed to that agreement. He wrote up an agreement, and they agreed to it, and Pharaoh fed them. And they were saved from the famine, but they were in bondage for 400 years. And the next Pharaoh wasn't as nice or as generous as the original Pharaoh, and so things got pretty rough. Things got pretty difficult. And the people were actually aborting their children. That's actually what they're talking about. Aborting their children. Casting out. And they use a word there in the New Testament referring to brephos. Not small children, but fetuses. Because they knew that in a woman's womb, there was a child. Nobody was saying, oh, it's just a clump of cells. They knew she was pregnant with a child, and the child was coming, and this was one of the commands of God to be fruitful and multiply. But the antithesis of that is to not be fruitful, don't multiply, and decrease your numbers. And, of course, the synagogue of Satan is saying that that's okay to decrease your numbers, and you haven't been doing it fast enough, so they may want to hurry you along in the decrease of your numbers. And they may be plotting about it. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the news about the Great Reset and Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab wasn't even an embryo yet when the Great Reset was being planned. It was being planned back there in the days of, you know, Edward Mendel House. And we can uncover what they did. But we need to, you know, we live in a universe, a cause and effect universe, and there are laws in the universe. You know, laws of gravity, thermodynamics, all sorts of automatic things that take place because of cause and effect. We live in this cause and effect universe. And if you covet your neighbor's goods and want to turn your neighbor into a human resource for your benefits, and you're willing to do it by the institution of the rule of force and violence, you yourself will go into bondage. Because as you judge, so shall ye be judged. And see, the brothers of Joseph thought it was okay to sell their brother into bondage because they were jealous and envious or whatever. And the modern person who hates capitalism is willing to sell his neighbor into bondage so that he can have free benefits. You know, pay for my school, pay for my unemployment, pay for my welfare, pay for my health care, pay off my student loans. That spirit is pervasive. I can go back 150 years ago, and it was almost, you couldn't find it in America. The people spoke against it, much less the politicians. But now the people have become human resources. They have become human capital. They are counted by the head. They are numbered. They have become a part of a human reserve fund. And I've expanded on our article on reserve fund. That's what the golden calf was. It was a reserve fund. It was part of the arts of the temple, the arts of banking, which Aaron knew the arts of banking. And it was simply a big central vault where the wealth of the people was put into this central treasury, which Jesus warned you about, which Moses warned you about and even forbid. But that's what they were doing. And they were going to be less free at the end of that. Well, there's a lot of things that can take away that freedom, but it almost always involves somehow or other you willing to either turn away or be a part of a scheme to take away the freedom of your neighbor, the right of choice that was endowed upon your neighbor by God. Capitalism, the basic definition of capitalism, before we add all these other elements of society, because capitalism by itself is not really a society. This is one of the clever word games that they play. Capitalism is simply, the base of capitalism is the private ownership of your labor. That's capitalism. Now, you can create corporate capitalism, pseudo-capitalisms of all kinds and shapes and sizes, and we explain all this on our article on capitalism, which I'm still working on. I've expanded it. It's almost a book now. But it's really easy to understand. If you don't own all your labor, if you don't have a right to all your labor, and you don't have the right to decide where your labor goes, because, I mean, you should share some of what you produce with others. That's a very important part of the kingdom. It's a very important part of every government. But some governments, they make the choice on how you're going to share. But in the kingdom of God, because it operates on the perfect law of liberty, you have the right to decide how to redistribute the wealth that you produce with your labor, the means of production. But by the time I was 7 years old, which was decades and decades and decades ago, and my father was probably in his 30s or something, people had already abandoned capitalism because half of his labor didn't belong to him. It belonged to the government. Had to go to the federal pharaoh in Washington, D.C. That was almost three-quarters of a century ago. So you haven't seen capitalism since you were born. Neither has Klaus Schwab, but he wants to wipe away all remnants of it. But anyway, let's move on here, because where this all came about, how did you become this human, you know, reserve fund where your labor now belongs to the pharaoh, what in whatever country you live in? It was at the time that they instituted a system of Corbyn that we call Social Security, which Christ condemned. But if you don't know what Corbyn is, and it's easy to find out, we have a whole articles on it, and we're quoting the Bible, we're quoting the history of the time. We're putting the Bible into the context of the time in which it was written, and then we show you by going into the actual laws, reading the Social Security Act. I don't expect all of you to run out and read it. Be great if you did. You might not understand it unless you've already read 100 law books to understand their legalese. Or read the book. We quote the book by the guy who devised the system so you would understand what it was. We show you step by step what it was. But other people have come along and shown this. People who were in the know and they don't tell you in the news. This should be news-worthy stuff, but instead, your sources like Wikipedia is trained to defame the people who expose this. Here's somebody wrote this way back when, let's see, it was after I had asked my dad who he worked for. But it was still way back there. You know, it was over 50 years ago. He wrote, "For a long time, I felt that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had developed many thoughts and ideas that were his own to benefit this country, the United States." This guy wrote this in his book. I'll tell you who the guy is. Maybe you can figure it out. But he didn't. He didn't. These weren't his ideas. They came from somewhere else. Most of the thoughts, his political ammunition, as it were carefully manufactured for him in advance by the Council of Foreign Relations, of which, if you look up CFR at Preparing You, we tell you a little bit about who they are. But he's saying that what he was coming up with, his ideas, were manufactured by somebody else in this council. One World Money Group brilliantly, that's the way he describes them, the Council of Foreign Relations, as a One World Money Group, with great gusto, like a fine piece of artillery, he exploded that prepared ammunition in the middle of an unsuspecting target, the American people. Now, if we follow the history of it, how, you know, this is in the 30s, they were already unsuspecting because they were ignorant. Why? It's because what we talked about way back when we were going through the prophets like Hosea and stuff, your mountains of Samaria are impotent. Your mountains of Samaria is the press. Fake news wasn't invented with Trump. It was actually mentioned by Obama. And it was actually mentioned by Thomas Jefferson hundreds of years ago. Fake news has been around for a long time. So anyway, he went on to say that these unsuspecting American people, and thus paid off and returned his internationalist political support, because that's how he got into power, was this international political support. That's how Woodrow Wilson got into power. It wasn't Russian interference, but it was interference with people who were not all U.S. citizens, although many of them had already become U.S. citizens. Warburg, when he came here to create the Federal Reserve, first thing he did is become an American citizen. His brother was doing the same kind of things in Australia. They were working all over the world to create this system. But what does it mean? You know, I don't want to blame them for our condition. What I want you to understand is your unwillingness to see the truth. We're just using these historical events as a backdrop. And this individual who should know, because he was in a place to know, is saying this about FDR. He's actually a relative of FDR by marriage. And he goes on to say the UN is but a long-range international banking apparatus clearly set up for financial and economic profit by a small group of powerful one-world revolutionaries, hungry for profit and power. The Depression was the calculated shearing of the public by the world money powers, triggered by the planned sudden shortage of supply of called money in the New York money markets. Now, this guy was a broker. He was in on the inside. He was in the household of FDR. He knew these people, some of them intimately. They didn't like him. And there's a reason why they didn't like him, and eventually kind of ousted him. not only from the White House, but from their own family, because of the fact that he began to question the ethics of what Franklin Delano Roosevelt was doing. He goes on to say the one world government leaders and their ever close bankers have now acquired full control of the money and credit machinery of the U.S. via the creation of the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank. And if you go back to Pericles and Athens and all this idea of what they were doing in the Federal Reserve system and creating the central treasuries is not new. The New Deal was not a new deal. It's an old deal that most people are completely unaware of. And it has long-range repercussions. But the problem is not the Federal Reserve. It's not their reserve fund. It's not the economic collapse. It's certainly not capitalism. How could capitalism be causing this when you haven't had capitalism since 1913? Certainly since 1933. But, you know, in our article on Social Security, in our article on Corbyn, in our articles on the era of Balaam and the ways of the Nicolaitans, which are all related and linked together, and we're showing that I've added to our Mark of the Beast page, there was a section there on Revelations 18, and I had put a line there because I knew I needed to write more, but it wasn't time yet. Well, now it's time, and so this last week I wrote a great deal more. Put subheadings so you can see what the Mark of the Beast in Revelation is already about. You already have the Mark of the Beast. You can't hardly buy or sell. You can't hardly get a job without it. There's somebody wrote recently and said that he hasn't used his Social Security number in years. I'm not advocating people get rid of their Social Security number. I'm advocating what Christ advocated, which is to repent, think differently. In order to think differently, you may have to know the strong delusion that you have accepted is true, that isn't so, so that you can receive the truth and start seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you will find the way back. Pointing at what bad guys did, that's not going to do it. So stay tuned, and we'll look at what you may need to know to find your way back to liberty under God after a brief break from this station.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And so who was this guy who was saying all this? Where did he come from? He was actually a colonel, Colonel Dahl, and he was in First World War, and he was commissioned as an ensign in the Naval Aviation. But he also was the son-in-law to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was actually an advisor to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But he had problems. He had attempted to be loyal to the Roosevelt White House, but he had problems philosophically with some of the things that they were doing because he understood what they were doing. Other people were blind to it. The media wasn't telling you. Your churches didn't tell you that you should not be coveting your neighbor's goods. There were some churches that were doing this, but their voices fell on deaf ears because the people did not want to know the whole truth. And so they set up a system under FDR during the Depression that was brought about by the Federal Reserve pulling back money supply. The coal money was pulled back, and this crashed the economy. Lots of people knew it was coming. Lots of people warned people that it was coming, but people could not hear it. They did not want to hear the whole truth. Now, there was another advisor to FDR, Lewis McHenry Howe, and he had been an American reporter and became this, he came from a wealthy family in Indianapolis, and he became this advisor, political advisor to the president. And he was in with the big guys. Lots of big guys. who were perpetrating this new idea, this new deal, which was actually Nimrod's deal, Pharaoh's deal, Cain's deal. It's a deal where you end up coveting your neighbor's goods to get more and more benefits at the expense of your neighbor through men who exercised authority one over the other, which Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. And it's right there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You're not to be doing that, going to men who exercise authority to get your daily bread. Early Christians would die rather than do it. The modern Christian would die rather than not do it because they don't want to see the truth. I mean, didn't Jesus said it was not to be that way with you? Over and over again, we see it in the gospel. How in the world can you think that desiring benefits that are provided by taking away from your neighbor and violating another one of the Ten Statements, the Ten Commandments, borrowing against the future, which is a violation of the Sabbath, borrowing money against the future, where you get the benefit today but have to pay for the benefit tomorrow with your labor or with the labor of your children, is actually going against the Ten Commandments. Coveting your neighbor's goods is going against the commandments. Making contracts to get those benefits. Assigning agreements to sign up for those benefits is also a violation of the Ten Commandments. And if it ends up leading to the death of people, that's another violation. If it empowers a system that goes about and devours who it will, I mean, obviously, if you owe the tax, pay the tax. But the reality is that we follow the ways of Satan, the adversary of God. Am I saying that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was Satan? Well, he was setting up a system that opposed the way of God. Now, you have every right to set up that system, the same as Cain had every right to set up his city-state, you know, where they sit down and they have this, you know, one purse. But we're told in the Bible that that runs towards death, runs towards evil. You know, Howe was associated with the other guy, you know, Bernard Baruch, Louise Brandes, Felix Frankfurter, Henry Morgenthau. All these guys were working together because they thought this was good. You know, I mean, some of the heads of some of these systems that FDR was setting up, their title was dictator. They actually, that wasn't like somebody trying to make them look bad. They actually called them dictators because that's what they were doing. Now, many of the programs that he set up were rolled back because they hadn't got a sufficient contractual agreement from the people. The people had to start taking these benefits, signing up for these benefits that you're not supposed to be signing up for, because you're not supposed to be, you know, if you sit down and eat with a ruler and you have an appetite, Proverbs tells you to put a knife to your throat because he serves you deceitful meats. Isn't that what we were talking about originally? Deceit. They actually call the deceitful meats, these dainties that they call deceitful meats, they will snare you. They're the bait, but they will bring you back into bondage. And if you borrow money to get them, even more so in bondage. So, anyway, Dahl, you know, he eventually, which is, you know, his, I was trying to think of what it, for some reason I just drew a blank on what his whole name was. Was it Curtis Dahl? I probably have it somewhere written down. But well, I actually have it on the webpage, so I can just go to the webpage and take a look. Everybody knows that I'm terrible at names. I forget names all the time. So, Curtis, yeah, I was right. Curtis Bean Dahl. I should have remembered that. And, you know, he was born in 1896, died in 1991. And he actually did an interview in 1991 with a guy, Hilder, Anthony Hilder. And you can actually purchase that interview. It's about a 45-page book. But, I mean, he was, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about these young people talking, coming to the conclusion that all Americans are evil and the United States is an evil, bad form of government and all this kind of stuff, because there is evidence that FDR knew that the Japanese were attacking. He didn't tell the Army, the Navy, so that they were not on alert and they were caught off guard and Pearl Harbor got bombed. But I'll lay you odds, those young kids, they're all in favor of socialism. They're just taking little bits and pieces of fact out of context. One of the guys who revealed all this was Curtis Bean Dahl, because he actually knew men in the Navy. You know, he was an American stockbroker for years. He was a vice presidential candidate. Of course, he was an author. He wrote a couple of books. And he was married to Eleanor Roosevelt, who was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's daughter. And so he was an advisor to the president for a while, but then they fell out because he thought some of the stuff that was going on was bad, and some of these men who were influencing him were bad. And so he published a book, My Exploited Father-in-Law, in 1967, and you can get copies of it right now. And it's covering the years between 1932 and 1942, when he was well-connected in government. And so, anyway, anybody can go read that. All that takes a lot of time. But we're giving you the highlights. But we're giving you the highlights so that you start understanding the way back. You know, Christ talked about mammon, which is an Aramaic word meaning wealth. But it actually means entrusted wealth. And, of course, they were doing that. You know, when you put your gold in the golden calf, that's mammon. You're entrusting your wealth in the golden calf, because that the gold represented your wealth. I mean, if you could also represent wealth with what they call capital, which could be livestock. That's where they get the word capital, is from the word head, capitas. And, you know, if you have 20 head of sheep, that's a way of counting how much capital you have. If you have 100 head of sheep, you got a lot more capital. A lot more heads. But you have to feed those sheep. You have to lean them around. They can die. If they get sick, they can have all kinds of problems. And they take up huge amounts of your time. I can guarantee that from personal experience. Along with dairy cows can do the same thing. Because we had a dairy cow that calved and had grass tetany. And, you know, we've been struggling for days to try to keep her alive. She's on her feet, and she's drinking again, eating again. Still not out of the woods yet. Takes a while. But animals can die. Gold doesn't die. Doesn't burn up. It's a very good portable way of wealth, because people like gold. I mean, if you go get a gold coin and hold it in your hand, there's something mysterious about it. But if you put the love of that wealth, whether it's sheep heads or gold, above love of your neighbor, now you got a problem. But it's the love of money over the love of your neighbor. Well, see, you're not out of practice with loving your neighbor. I mean, you can love your neighbor from your pew and from the inside your house, looking out your window. But to love your neighbor used to mean that you were actually providing social welfare for your neighbor if he had need. If he got injured, if he got sick, would you be over there? You know, we're actually torn. We're helping our neighbor who needs help, and we also have to help our cow. So, I mean, like, which one do we do first? But with Social Security, you don't have to help your neighbor anymore. It's the government's job. It's men who exercise authority, one over the other. It's their job. And so, because you've entrusted your wealth, you've entrusted your responsibility, you are now in the treasury of the reserve fund, because you are a surety for the debt that is being created by the trillions of dollars there's no way out for you. You can fill out all the papers you want. They can still come and get you because you're an asset. You're part of the capital because you sat and ate with rulers. David told you this. Paul told you this. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. You're snared. You're in the bondage of Egypt. It's probably worse than it was in the bondage of Egypt. You don't own your labor. You're not practicing capitalism of Christ or God. God was the first one that told you you were a capitalist. He gave you dominion over yourself. He did not give you dominion over your neighbor. He gave you dominion over yourself. In order to get dominion over your neighbor, you had to not see the truth that coveting your neighbor's goods was condemned by Christ. And so now you live in a socialist state. Everybody does. You know, you don't call it socialism, you call it democratic socialism. But it's all based on the idea of coveting your neighbor's goods so that you can have free stuff. And the reason you do this is because you're having eyes full of adultery. And that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable hearts or souls. That's the way it's translated, unstable souls and heart. They have exercised the covetous practice of desiring benefits at the expense of their neighbor and curse their own children. You know, Peter had said earlier in 2 Peter 2:3 that through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I mean, we should figure this out. Even 2 Timothy 3:1 starts off with this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. You desire those benefits? You're covetous. Boaster saying, oh, yeah, I'm born again, but still working iniquity. And if you read all the born-again stuff in the Bible, it says if you're still a worker of iniquity, which includes coveting your neighbor's goods through men who exercise authority, which Christ said not to do, then you're boasting of a salvation you don't have access to. And you need to repent and think differently. But many people are too proud. And they blaspheme the Holy Spirit that's telling them what you have accepted is a lie. You're under a strong delusion. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit that is telling you this. You can blaspheme me all you want. But if the Holy Spirit is starting to awaken you, not woke you, awaken you, you need to listen. You need to start pondering. And that's why we laid this out, so you can go over it and start pondering it, so that you can eventually come to the point where God will show you the way back. Yeah, and one of the signs of this is disobedient to parents, which it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:2. The young boy went in and killed all those other kids. He wasn't living with his parents. I guess his mother's a drug addict and the father has all kinds of problems. I don't know what they are. I'm sure they'll eventually come out. But he was living with his grandmother, and I guess he shot his grandmother. I don't know if she died or not. But their family is broke down. What broke down the family? We've had lots of shows on this, taking you step by step. The rise of socialism, the New Deal, the Great Society, the war on poverty. And you can look at the black community where they targeted the black community, and now they have 75% single-parent families because the families are in shambles. But the kingdom of God is based upon families coming together in congregations of 10 and starting to breathe life back into care for one another by actually caring for one another, which is why God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh and would not let the people go. You're way better off than getting rid of your Social Security number, which somebody did and now can't hardly find work. And I can't speak to him particularly, but I'm just talking in generalities. Way better than that is to come together in congregations of 10 and start caring about one another, so that when all hell breaks loose, the Satan is everywhere, hell is empty, and all the demons are here. You can do something about it. But the reason people are disobedient to parents is because parents aren't educating their children. They're not taking care of their children. And society is saying you don't have to listen to your parents. And so now the grandmother is taking care of this 18-year-old boy, and he shoots her. That's a product of socialism. That's a product of these covetous practices. Because there's nothing more unthankful than somebody who thinks they're entitled, which is the next thing that Timothy mentions. Unholy, that means unseparate. Verse 3, without natural affection. What's natural affection? Well, homosexuality is not natural affection. So they don't have that natural affection. Truce breakers, they say they'll do one thing and then they do another. False accusers, I get that all the time. I present this information to people and then they falsely accuse me of saying things I didn't even say. I mean, you can go look at what I said. Incontinent, inconsistent. Fierce, that's one of the things, you know, I've read a lot of Marx recently because I've been expanding that page as well. The guy was angry all the time. And you see this in the Karens and the literally psychopaths who are against what little conservatism they have in conservatism today. I mean, all your conservatives are socialists. Very few of them really want to get back. I mean, Ron Paul was talking about, you know, audit the Fed or get rid of the Fed. Well, he can talk about it all he wants. I'm telling you, you need to repent. Till the people repent, there's no reason to get rid of the Fed. You have to repent. And the beautiful thing about repentance is that if you sit down in congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands like Christ commanded his followers to do and start taking care of one another, you don't need the rest of the country to decide to change. You don't need the rest of the country to repent. Now, we want them to repent. But if you don't repent, it doesn't matter what they do. You're still going to go back into bondage again. You can't be despisers of those that are good, which is what we see. People who are doing good today, oh, they're bad. People who are doing bad, oh, they're good. Goes on and expands this list with traitors. Heady, high-minded. You seen any headed, high-minded stuff lately? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. You just go into all these churches that if you have a need, they don't practice pure religion. They don't take care of it unspotted by the world, the constitutional orders and systems of government. They actually send you to the government. They deny that they have the power to actually take care of the needy of their society. And they're afraid to even mention this command of Christ to not be that way that they are. Because they might lose their congregations. People might leave. Christ wasn't afraid to tell the truth. He had them leaving in droves. It's the only way you can, you know, if you're panning for gold, that's what you do. You swish the water around so all the dirt goes back into the bottom of the river. And then it leaves the gold left. And then you have to apply the fire. Well, the fire is coming. To find out who is really gold and who is pyrite. But I don't need to make that decision. I just need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'm just showing you that what you've been doing ain't righteous. You've been denying the power that God could have taken care of your social welfare through a network of people who love each other as much as they love themselves. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we see. I mean, it says right there, you're not to be going to men who exercise authority, who call themselves benefactors, to get your daily bread. You're not your daily ministration, your pure religion of taking care of the widows and orphans should be done unspotted by the constitutional order and system of government. That's what it says right there in the text. It says world, but they use the word that means constitutional order and system of government. Your religion, the way in which you take care of the widows and needy of your society is not pure. It is very spotted. Yet you think you're a Christian church. You're very much a part of the world. You even eat at the tribal trough of Caesar. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrines, manner of life. Now he's talking to the Thessalonians. They knew it. But wasn't it a doctrine of Christ not to covet your neighbor's goods? The manner of life, purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, willing to accept persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch. He's talking about his experiences as Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And we go into the trials of the early Christians and what they were, why they were tried, because they would not sign up for the welfare systems of Caesar. They had another king, one Jesus, who showed them how to gather together in a network according to the perfect law of liberty and take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity rather than the force, fear, and fealty that is required of those benefactors of the world, those fathers of the earth, who make agreements, which we just seen, according to Curtis, with the merchants of men. That's what we see in Revelations, which is why I added a great deal to our Mark of the Beast article and have to move some of those additions and explanations over to Revelations chapters that we have also on the text. But the fact is, if you get in there and you see Mark of the Beast, it will take you to the article and you can read it there. So it's all there. You just have to be willing to seek the truth. But to really seek the truth, you have to repent and start seeking the righteousness of God, because he's the one who's going to give you the whole truth. So earlier, before we started this banking series, we talked about church and state and the separation of church and state and the separation of the apostles from the world. They were to be in the world but not of the world. And we talk about it in the book Free Church Report, which you can get free online. Download it free online. We don't keep any of this stuff from you. We have no commercial breaks. We provide all this for free. But it's not really for free, because it's going to cost you. You know, Justin the Martyr wrote the Emperor of Rome to explain the nature of the private religion of Christianity, which was still legal at that time. Later under Saturninus, private religion was outlawed for a short period of time by some of the emperors, and they received another round of persecution. But Justin the Martyr said, we gather every week, and those that have share with those that don't have enough. And why is he explaining this to Antoninus Pius, who's the emperor of Rome? Is because they're wondering why the Christians aren't signing up for their welfare system or waiting for a stimulus check. But see, the modern Christian has gone so far away. So it didn't start with COVID. It didn't start with CRT. It didn't even really start with, you know, LBJ and FDR. It started way back where we began to creep in the idea that it's okay to take from our neighbor. It's not. So how do we get back? What is the way back? Are you willing to go the way back? Are you willing to be righteous and admit that you haven't been? Well, that's where we need to go. We'll be right back.
first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, are we learning anything? Are we realizing that we've gone the wrong way? Are you helping other people to learn whether or not they've gone the wrong way? I mean, like I said, Proverbs 23. When thou sittest and eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And so we're showing you how they set up a system that they put before you, and your parents went and signed up. I'm not blaming your parents. The strong delusion was going to come because we were already doing something that was going to bring that strong delusion so that we would believe a lie. And I went over that, but I'm not going to repeat it. I'll let you go and look it up and figure out what did I do where I didn't see this before. And what do I do if I want to see more? And why would I want to see more? Well, if you love the truth, you want to see more. That is one of the things that I see in conversations with people that are starting to get this. They were willing to hear the truth. They were willing to see the truth. They were willing to see that what they thought was right was not right. But if they're going to be proud boasters and think that, oh, I already know, I'm already saved, I already believe, it doesn't matter that I'm a worker of iniquity because I believe I'm saved. But Jesus warns those who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do it the will of the Father, they aren't saved. Those who say they're born again but are still workers of iniquity, they're not born again. And James tells you that how do you know who is a Christian and who is not? By what they do. Because if you really repented and received the Holy Spirit, you would not want to do these things. If you receive some sort of emotional spirit, I mean, the evil can appear as an angel of light. And, of course, we know that by politicians. We're constantly suckering people. But anyway, when thou, citizen, eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. It's the blood of your neighbor. That's what's before you. And put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, did he just say, don't work hard to earn money and to put up extra money and to have extra provisions? Labor not to be rich. Is that what he means? Is that what he's really saying when he says labor not to be rich? Christ condemned the guy who just buried his coin. He praised the guy who turned three coins into more and two coins into more. But the guy who just buried his coin didn't do anything with it. He didn't praise him. So, what Christ is not against capitalism. Very clearly, he is for that concept of being fruitful and multiply. People say, well, without capitalism expanding the money supply, the Federal Reserve is not capitalism. The guys who started it said they hated capitalism. And the money they're issuing, or the notes they're issuing that you think is money, is not capital. It has no present value. They were anti-capitalists to begin with, but they've done a number on you to make you think that the private ownership of your labor is not a good thing. Without the private ownership of your labor, how can you be charitable? You need to be productive so that you can have the time to share with others. You should not be desirous of the dainties of these rulers. You know, I mean, Proverbs 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Greedy for gain. Oh, that's bad. That's... He that is greedy for gain, that these guys who are anti-capitalism, supposedly, they don't even know what capitalism is. They're mixing corporate capitalism and state-run capitalism with owning your own labor, which is what capitalism, that's the base of capitalism. All the other things have to be added on to create a system, because capitalism, if there was only one man left on the face of the earth, he could be a capitalist. But if you're going to be a corporate capitalist, you got to have at least two guys, preferably three. If you're going to have state-run capitalism, you got to have more than one guy. Because capitalism, as a base unit, is not a system. It's an element. And it could become an element of a system, but in order to do that, you have to bring in things like socioeconomics or political economics, or judicial economics. You have to bring in these other elements of society in order to create a system. So, yeah, capitalism isn't even a system. It's an endowed right. God gave you the right to work. And with that labor, you should be fruitful and multiply. And you should also maintain that dominion over the earth. When you become a slave in Egypt, you have given up some of your dominion, some of your right to choose, some of your power, exousia, to choose. Which is why Paul says in Romans 13, let every man remain subject to his own power to choose, his own liberty. That's what he's saying. That same word is translated liberty. It should never be translated government. Although the government could end up with your power to choose. That's what you did with FDR. You said, well, we were taking care of the widows and orphans before Social Security. We were taking care of the needy of society before Social Security, mostly through charity and through family and through church. But after Social Security, now it's the government's right to choose who gets what. They'll give you money to change your sex. They'll give you money to take drugs. They'll give you money to abort your child. I say, oh, no, we don't have government-funded abortions. Guess again. It's a delusion. They do. They have government-funded wars. That kills people, causes abortions. Lots of things are causing abortions today, but if I mention them, I'll be censored. But if you've listened to the program, you probably already know. But this greedy of gain is desiring benefits from the government, which is why in the same sentence he goes on to say, but he who hateth gifts shall live. Because he's talking about the welfare state. Now, Proverbs does this all the time. Proverbs 1, consent not. What? To having one purse. Proverbs 12, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So you're under tribute, not because of the Federal Reserve, not because of Edward House, not because of FDR, not because of Howe and all these other guys who were, or Warburg and all. You're under tribute because you've been slothful in the ways of righteousness. You're not gathering in churches established by Christ. You're gathering in churches established by Constantine. Because Constantine, and we're going to do a whole series on this, not just Constantine, but where we started going wrong, because it wasn't actually in 1913 when we created the Federal Reserve on December 23rd. It wasn't in 1910 and 1911 when all the courts started going over to becoming administrative courts instead of common law courts. It wasn't when you all started becoming citizens of the United States after the Civil War. It wasn't when you acquiesced to a constitution that was not biblical, which is the U.S. Constitution is not biblical, because the Bible tells you the five elements of a constitution to write down in a constitution to control your king, your president, your prime minister, and you didn't put five of them in. You didn't put four of them in. You didn't put three of them in. You didn't even put two of them in. But you did put in the right to contract. And through the power of contract, and pacta servanda sunt, those contracts must be kept. You have now gone back into the bondage of Egypt, where you are no longer in the capitalism of Christ, but you are in the fictional capitalism of the modern system, the pseudo-capitalism, where you don't, your gold is not in your pocket. It's not even in the a golden calf somewhere. It's not. It's your surety for debt to other nations. Of course, they're also surety for debt. But it's like you're playing musical paper now. Who's got most of the paper? You don't realize, and I mentioned it in this original article, Pacta Servanda Sunt, that the laws in the universe, the Ten Statements, it makes you vulnerable. They're worried about Russian influence in the election. You should be worried about a lot more than that. But you shouldn't be worried at all if you repent, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I'm not going to go into the whole way back, because most of that you're going to have to learn as you go. But obviously, Christ made it very clear. The only time he commanded his apostles to make the people sit down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands. So you should be forming congregations of people based on 10 families. And those 10 families should start trying to figure out ways to provide for the widows and orphans and needy of their society. If they're all not slothful, that won't cost that much, but start doing it, because the systems of the world are going to start breaking down, and they're still going to demand their tally of bricks. And of course, they have the greatest tax ever is inflation. because while we've been sitting here talking, the money in your pocket has decreased in value. The money in your bank account has decreased in value. And you will see that in the rise in prices. Things aren't more expensive. Your money is decreasing in value because you don't have just weights and measures, because you've abandoned the ways of God, the righteousness of God, long time ago. But it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't want you to come together out of fear of what's coming. I want you to come together out of love for one another, out of love for what who Christ really was, what he was really saying, and start taking care of one another as if your soul depended upon it, because it does. And that's what you need to be doing. You've been eating the dainties of the king for way too long. And now you've become like the people of Egypt. You don't know how to be free. But now is your opportunity to start learning how to be free. All the people that come to the network will not stay. They will fall away. Some will fall away, just like they fell away with Christ. All the people who sit down in the tens and hundreds and thousands, their hearts are not necessarily pure, or souls are pure. Some will be purified in the effort of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but they are only purified by the Holy Spirit. They're not purified by me. Even John the Baptist said, I only baptize you with water. There's one who comes after me who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, the Spirit is coming, the fire is coming. You just have to start repenting. Now, by the same token, we can look out in the world and we can see that, you know, they've gone farther and farther and farther down this road to destruction. Destruction will come. But where are you going? And Karl Marx was right. Religion, not pure religion, but the religion of men, the religion of Constantine, the religion of those who are greedy for gain, who want benefits at the expense of their neighbor, who are not afraid of engaging in covetous practices, that religion that tickles the ears of the people is the opiate of the people. You don't want that religion. I'm not condemning them. They condemn themselves because they abandon the ways of God. I'm calling you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because this system, it would normally collapse of its own. That's one of the things that if you know, I've added a great deal to the Karl Marx page, you know, the Communist Manifesto, etc. But, you know, besides his bitterness, one of the things that he believed, that capitalism, real capitalism, would destroy itself. Of course, he didn't really, his definition is not far off, but you see them slanting it. But, I mean, like if you were to go to Wikipedia and look these things up, everything is slanted more and more, trying to make him look like a good guy. And you know, Curtis Dahl, they refer to him as a white supremacist because back in the 1960s, he was organizing with the Constitutional Party. But of course, Wikipedia has been taken over by the woke crowd, at least when it comes to politics. But they do show in there, you know, what his book is, but you have to seek the truth. And I'm not saying that everything in his book is true, but he was in a place to know, and it corroborates what I've already been saying and what I've been seeing, because I've lived a long time as well. You know, it's like the Reese Commission. When I came upon the Reese Commission that uncovered the fact that these philanthropic organizations were trying to change the way in which Americans viewed history. Well, I already had a collection of history books before I came upon that went back to the 1800s. And I would read them right in a row, trying to find which ones are the best ones for my kids, because I thought history was really important. While the school was taking history out, the local school, which my kids never went to, but the local school, because I did work for them occasionally, they were taking history out of the classrooms and thought it was great. They didn't need to learn history. But that's part of the plan. You know, so that eventually they could bring in CRT. They don't care whether the CRT gets in there or not. They already got you. They already got you thinking you live in a free nation when you actually live in the bondage of Egypt. And your church has actually got you thinking that you're a Christian when you're actually doing the opposite of what Christ said. He said it, you were not to be that way, but you are that way. Your modern church has no daily ministration. 90% of all of its daily ministration is taken care of by men who exercise authority contrary to the teachings of, and doctrines of Christ. And you've been sitting at the, eating at the table that Paul told you about, warned you about, David warned you about. If you want to look it up, Psalms 69:22, let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And of course, Paul in Romans 11:9, and David saith, quoting David, referring to that same quote of David's, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Well, the same word for table there in that text, what do you think it is? What else, what other way is it translated in the same Bible that Paul uses there? Well, I can tell you. It's translated bank. And it actually means bank. And, yeah, it could be a table. But since we've, you know, if you go back, if you haven't listened to them already, you can go back and listen to the earlier ones. Almost all the temples had an institutional part of them that was a bank. The temples were bank. Temple of Ephesus was a bank. Temple of Minetta, minted coin. Temple of Ephesus, minted coin. They were banks. They were treasuries. The word Corban is even translated treasury. It means sacrifice, but that's how you fill up your treasury, with sacrifices of the people. But you've all become part of that reserve fund of the government. You don't have a golden calf or your reserve fund. You are the reserve fund, and your children are the reserve fund. You have cursed your children. They are sureties for debt now. Well, the amazing thing is, in the kingdom of God, you're the reserve fund in the kingdom of God, too. But the difference between the kingdom of God's reserve fund, which is the people, and the kingdoms of the world reserve fund, which is the people, is the difference between fervent charity and legal charity. And once you've got that grasp, and we have articles called fervent charity and articles called legal charity. Legal charity was a term coined in the 1800s, appears prominently in Alexis Tocqueville's writings about America and what made America great. And it was not legal charity. Legal charity degenerates the people. We've known that for thousands of years. It weakens the people. It weakened the people of Sodom. Legal charity is when men who exercise authority one over the other force the contributions of the people, because the people have all become human resources and subjects. They force their contributions to take care of the needy of their society. That's legal charity. Fervent charity is when the people give free will offerings. That's what they call them in the Old Testament, free will offerings. In the New Testament, we call it charity. In both cases, the people are the human resources in the reserve fund of a God. In the kingdom of God, capital G-O-D, it is the God of heaven, the God of creation. In the kingdoms of the world, it's the God's many that Paul talks about, that Jesus talks about. They don't wait for free will offerings. They force the offerings of the people. So everybody who wants benefits, free school, free health care, free education, take care of my parents, everybody who wants to go that way are engaged in covetous practices. They desire benefits at the expense of their neighbor. Early America did not do that. They spoke against it. We show you how they spoke against it. They would not be a part of it. Their public schools were almost entirely funded by contributions. They couldn't even pass a statute in Jefferson's Virginia that would collect, would even mandate the building of public schools. Even though there was no monetary provisions in the bill, they weren't taxing anybody to build them. They were just saying they should build a school within walking distance of everybody in their district. And they couldn't even get that passed. They said, why? We're already doing it. And who was doing it? The militia. Because by working together to build the schools and being a part of that process, they had control over what their kids would learn. They weren't worried about CRT coming into the school. And they also weren't worried about somebody coming in the school and shooting up the kids. You know, when they had terrorists coming in and shooting up kids in Israel, they armed the teachers. Most of the people I see out there that you have teaching your children, I would not want to give them a gun. Go on TikTok. Actually, you can't even see it there because they're censoring that. All the more reason you need to get back to the ways of Christ, and one of the ways of Christ is to organize yourselves in the tens, hundreds, and thousands in free assemblies, that's what they call them in the Old Testament, the synagogue meaning 10 families, and start seeking to know what the will of God is for yourself, because it's an individual basis. That was one of the things about capitalism. It's individuals' right to decide what to do with his labor and the fruit of his labor. Like I say, in the kingdom of God, there's redistribution of wealth. But the one who gets to decide is the one who produces the wealth. And the people don't realize there are other people saying, well, then, in capitalism, the wealth all centers into the hands of the super wealthy. No. Only if you haven't implemented the social bonds of Christianity. It wouldn't happen if the only social welfare you had amongst yourselves was based on free will offerings. This is why the bankers want to get rid of capitalism. This is why Jeff Bezos doesn't like capitalism. This is because they want control. And they can get control when you don't have control, and you don't have control if you don't own your own labor, and you haven't owned your own labor for almost 100 years. In America and in other countries, Australia was ahead of us. So you need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to seek the kingdom of God. You need to join the network. You need to sit down in a living network and start caring about one another. Build them peace on your house, and God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, I have an announcement, and I think I'm going to make this announcement part of the broadcast. We know who the Antichrist is. Just in case you haven't found out yet, we know who the Antichrist is. He is alive and well in the earth. And in this first hour, we're going to go through news, current events, worldview on those news and current events from a biblical prophecy reality worldview. And in the second hour, we're going to take a look at a document that I found as I was researching this week. And that document is the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy with Exposition, a very important topic for our day when so many are abandoning the Word of God or choosing to understand it in any way they so desire. Okay, news and current events. So, well, first we have ongoing is what's happening at the World Economic Forum, the Antichrist and his minions. See, because here's how the Antichrist works now. All of you futurists, preterists, all you Bible believers out there, whatever brand of Bible prophecy that you believe in, you do believe that the Antichrist is going to come and impose a financial mark, as it plainly is stated at the very end of chapter 13 of the Revelation. Therefore, the Antichrist must have control over the money of the world. And if you were the Antichrist and you had money, control over the money in the world, and you wanted to get your way in the world, you know, you wanted total absolute authority over the world, what would you do with that money? Well, of course, you'd give it to people and projects that support what you want to do. And you would also withdraw it from things like FirstAmendmentRadio.net and people that are against what you want to do. After all, you control the money, right? Okay. So anyway, this is an Antichrist project here, a project of the Antichrist and his shadow government and their minions. And they have minions. They have a myriad of people working for them. Probably a majority of the people that are working for them have ideas and a mindset that pleases the Antichrist, even though they don't know who he is or that they're working for him. So the Antichrist, as I said, he supports through his shadow government and their minions and the money powers of the world, he supports what he wants. And of course, one of his favorite projects today is the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. And of course, at the head of that is this character, Klaus Schwab. So that's what we have going on here today. And this is reported on the CHD, Children's Health Defense website. That is Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website. And you'll hear more about it today if you listen in the afternoon as you're listening to our broadcast throughout the day here on whatever stream you choose at FirstAmendmentRadio.net or .com. We are live on, we are not live on YouTube, and there's a reason for that. And there's the reason right there. This video has been removed for violating YouTube's community guidelines. That's right. And that was the broadcast we did 2 weeks ago, which they struck right after I did the following broadcast the next week, where I had the audacity to speak about the, what do you call it, the documentary 2000 Mules. And it probably said some things that YouTube or Google did not like. because they control the narrative, and they don't allow what they don't want, the narrative they don't want on their format, their forums, and that is Google and YouTube. So anyway, we're not on YouTube, so we're free to say anything we want. Yeah, we don't even have to couch it in different terms. So goodbye, YouTube. And we are now live on, what are we live on? Okay, we are live on Rumble. That's right. That's what you're watching right now if you're in the chat room. That's Rumble. And that's what I'm posting on my blog now. And you can follow that through to our Rumble channel. And we are live on three audio streams of various kilobit sizes. And then we are live on DLive, Trovo, Odyssey. And thank you for all the listeners over there at Odyssey. We got 38 people over there listening at Odyssey. And I don't know how I'm not going to check all these channels out. But anyway, that's it. The strike. So here we have the Antichrist, his shadow government, and their minions hard at work. Klaus Schwab, the leader of the Fourth Industrial Revolution, or the Fourth Reich, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to get their fake millennium in here, where they rule the world and eternal life comes through technology. How about that? But only if you're chosen for it, and if you live through their population reduction schemes that are ongoing. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Preparing for the next pandemic, including Speaker Bill Gates. So let's see what Bill Gates has to say here. I'm just kind of curious as to what the most famous doctor, the most brilliant scientist in the world. Oh, wait a minute. This guy's none of those things. He's a thief and and a shell for the Antichrist who rules through his shadow government for the world. But let's hear what he has to say.
Gates, since you cover this in your book, how do we come up with a coordinated effort? What is the path to creating some sort of global response so that we can help the weakest link get stronger?
Well, there certainly was time enough for some countries to respond and have, you know, very, very mild pandemics. Ground zero, wherever the emergence takes place, is always going to have the toughest job. You know, will they see an elevation in respiratory symptoms? Will they see an elevation in deaths? Will they run a diagnostic panel? They're not going to be sequencing everything. But when you get an elevation or you get your normal diagnostic panel, showing something unusual, then you've got to start.
Yes, and you've got to start locking down the world, and I've heard enough. Okay, I'll leave it to the talking heads to sort all that nonsense out. But basically, Bill Gates did tell us something, and we'll talk about what he told us was going to happen for the next. They already game played it, you know, kind of like they had an event 201. Well, they had a monkeypox event 201 here just recently. So we know what their game plan is. They always like to play them out in the first place to make sure everyone, the minions of the Antichrist, all know their parts and what they're supposed to do and what part they're supposed to play to drive forward the next takedown, the next push towards the 2030 agenda of the image of the beast. So there you have it. And here's Bill Gates' smug face. And they're talking about announcing an accord for a healthier world. And that means a way to kill most people on the earth so that we can get to reduce the population down to the Georgia Guidestones guide of one half a billion people or 500 million. Yeah, and look at that smug face. These murderers of humanity, even if they don't accomplish it, they're still guilty in their hearts because they want to kill as many people as possible. Is there any salvation for this kind of person? Yeah, it seems to me anyone like this, that's on board with this agenda and loves murder and killing fellow human beings because they have no regard for human life, or that life is made in the image of God. They have no regard for it whatsoever, so they have no qualms about killing as many people as possible, yeah, to achieve their demonic goals. Okay, so the scripture for today, Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Ah, my nose is itching. Sorry about that. Then shall be two be in the field, and the one shall be taken. This is when Christ comes, in that day. And the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And yes, he repeats it again there. Before he said, no man knows the day or the hour. He says here, you don't know the hour. So if you're slacking off or think you can get away with something, then really you're holding on to sin in your heart. You haven't truly repented. I think that's the message there. So, but eating and drinking and giving and taking and marrying. Yeah. That's what we'll see. And that's exactly what we have going on here. So we come to it. Monkeypox. And I have an article here. Fool me twice, shame on you. Yes, I can't believe it's monkeypox season already. And I haven't even taken my Ukrainian decorations down. Or you could have said, it's Ukrainian season already, and I haven't even taken my COVID decorations down. Yes, what is the next thing they're going to throw up on us? What is the next thing they're going to celebrate, or what fear porn are they going to roll out before our eyes to fill us with fear and make us turn to them as our salvation, or the salvation of the world, because that's what they're doing. Okay, well, here it is. Bill Gates again shows up. One prime mover for the Antichrist and his final attempt to take over the world, yes, with this great reset and his 2030 agenda being pushed by the image of the beast. Bill Gates' prediction that the world would face an unexpected smallpox outbreak is miraculously unfolding. You notice? Should we be surprised? I know I'm not. Here's the money quote that was delivered by Gates 6 months before the first case was recorded. It'll probably take about $1 billion a year for the pandemic task force at the WHO level, which is going to doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call germ games, where you practice, you say, okay, what if a bioterrorist brought smallpox to 10 airports? You know, how would the world respond to that? Bill Gates. One can only marvel at Gates' extraordinary powers of perception. He's like some kind of software soothsayer, able to divine the future from the entrails of animals. Is that it? Or does he have a crystal ball tucked away somewhere in the bowels of his Lake Washington mansion? Whatever it is truly astonishing. Here's more from the World Socialist website. You know, when I read that World Socialist website, I thought, is this guy joking? Is there really a World Socialist website? So I went and looked. Oh, and there it is. This is the World Socialist website. And these people are serious socialists. So if you want to know what they're up to, if you want to know what the socialists of the world are up to, that's what it is here. The world, and here's the article. Over 100 monkeypox infections detected in 10 countries as unprecedented outbreak spreads globally. Oh, be very afraid. I think that's the point of the World Socialist website, because they know how to control people. First, you know, introduce them to abject fear, and they'll be much easier to control. They'll come groveling before your feet, asking you to please protect us and find something to inject us with that will protect us from, you know, the monkeypox plague that is going to kill, you know, billions of people upon the earth. Please come out with a new mRNA vaccine to save us. Save us, oh, Bill Gates and whoever else, Pfizer and Joe Biden and whoever else you want to worship at the feet of. Anyway, so we can only marvel. An unprecedented, okay, whatever. Here's more from the World Socialist site. An unprecedented outbreak of monkeypox virus has officially spread to 10 countries outside of Africa with 107 confirmed or suspected cases. Yes, we suspect it might be confirmed or suspected. They're not going to give you any numbers there. It's probably like one or two confirmed, but we have a whole bunch of suspected. I probably gave a PCR test to, you know, and they give you how many is in what countries there. Much remains unknown about what is causing the outbreak, which is the most geographically dispersed and rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak since the virus was first discovered in 1958. In the coming days and weeks, much more data and scientific understanding will emerge, but already there is profound concern within the scientific community and among the public, which has found wide expression on social media. Over 100 monkeypox infections defected in 10 countries as unprecedented outbreaks spread globally. World Socialist website. Yes, we will pay attention to the World Socialist website. Not. Repeat, the most rapidly spreading monkeypox outbreak since the virus was first discovered in 1958. I wonder if that rapidly spreading part has something to do with the way that researchers have been tweaking the gain of function of these unique pathogens in order to make them more contagious and more lethal. Is that what is going on? We'll probably never know. And there's a whole bunch there. Yes, Gates talked about the possibility of a bioterror smallpox attack in his past. His comments have been drawn slightly out of context and don't mention monkeypox. That's a fact checked. So there are the fact checkers already getting on it. Also, you probably heard that Joe Biden and his maladministration have already purchased millions of doses of monkeypox vaccine from a European company. I forget exactly what country it is, but I did learn a few facts about the vaccine. It is smallpox vaccine being relabeled monkeypox vaccine. Yes, indeed. How did they come up with a monkeypox? Because it's a new pandemic. It's going to spread over the whole world. Suddenly, we have a vaccine for it. But, yeah, I believe it's a regular smallpox vaccine. Of course, there, you know, we've got the big pharma, you know, the pharmacia kings out there are working, day and night, sleepless, many, many sleepless nights trying to invent a mRNA version because they want to continue with their mRNA DNA transformation of the world. Yes, they do want to continue with it. So you can find that article there at lewrockwell.com. That one, monkeypox, fool me twice, shame on you. Okay, next one. A smallpox vaccine to prevent monkeypox could cause global smallpox. I warn, do not be that stupid. Understand, if you have damaged the immune systems of billions with COVID vaccines, experts are saying that the smallpox vax, 85% effective in monkeypox, this is not good news. For millions or billions are now immunocompromised. There it is. Immunocompromised from COVID vax, smallpox vax, potential reintroduction of smallpox. Do we do anything extra as to this monkeypox? No. Do we be scared? No. Do we wear masks? No. Do we shut down anything? Schools, businesses, society? No. Do we do some contact tracing? If we think it warrants. Do we do mass quarantine? No. Do we order shelter in place? No. We just live life as normal and turn off the insane, corrupted media. That is all. It is spread among men who have sex with men. Men with men. Mainly, as per reporting, the rise, and yes, actually, the CDC did report that. That is reported from the CDC. I will start with this statement before delving deeper. It is reported showing up mainly in males, young males, and MSM, and I guess that's because of gay parties. So, be very afraid. But the gist is, the mainstream media is not going to focus on this. And they're going to continue to dole out the fear porn to the world and try to get as many people possible to take the new monkeypox vaccine. Now, the attenuated virus could be very dangerous because the attenuated virus that they're giving in a regular vaccine, if you're immunocompromised, you could get monkeypox from the vaccine. Likely. And of course, they're smarter than I am. So they already know this. So hopefully people won't go for it. Oh, fool me once. Shame on me. Fool me twice. Shame on me thing. I think a lot of people are simply, at this point done with Big Pharma and their fear porn of death. Being that so many people died from COVID, not from the virus itself, but from the response to it, and especially the vaccines that have killed more people in the last 2 years since their introduction than all of the vaccines in history. Yes. As an adverse reaction, of course. And of course, yeah, the ends justified the means, or as they would try to get you to believe that, it was worth it, that a few people died to save billions when the opposite is true. Okay. Well, there's our signal for a break. So, you're listening to Across the Border, the Live Prophecy Reality Edition on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, when the third temple is built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And now, this first hour, we're going to continue in this second segment, going through news, commentary, events, worldview, that kind of stuff. In our second hour, we're going to talk about the, where is that at? This is it, a Chicago statement on biblical inerrancy and an exposition of that there. And it'll probably take the whole second hour. But why is something like that important? And why is it important to have a biblical worldview? Well, so that you're not taken in by the Antichrist and his minions, their mainstream media, and the fear porn that they're using to control the world. And most of you probably will never read even a quarter of the Bible in your lifetimes. I hope that you will. And I think possibly people who are listening to First Amendment Radio will probably read at least a quarter, at least the New Testament, maybe in their lifetime. I don't know. But many of you are just busy, and or many of you just do not read, because people do not read today. They do read on their phones, so maybe you ought to load a Bible app on your phone. Make sure you get the King James Version. I've been going to a local Bible study here in town just to meet people and have conversations and that kind of thing. And I was kind of amazed that several people there were using the Living Bible, which is not really even a translation. A paraphrase. That's it. So the Living Bible is not really the Bible. It's a paraphrase of the Bible. And they paraphrased it to death, I must admit. So I got them both on board, both of the people that I met there, to downloading the authorized or the King James Version. And I said, don't get the new one. Get the authorized one. Make sure it has the these and thous in it. Because it's only written at an eighth grade level. I think you're intelligent enough to handle it. Okay. You put it that way to people, they go, oh, yeah, I think I can handle these and those. Because that's one thing that the Antichrist and his minions use to get people to switch over to the newfangled versions, to tell them, oh, those these and those is very confusing. Yeah, right. Yeah. To hope you could read at least it at an eighth grade level. But yeah, don't let them talk you out of it, therefore. Okay, so we're talking about the smallpox thing. Yeah, I think we're done with that. None of you are going to run out and get a smallpox RNA vaccine, because they're going to try to hype it up. They're just going to see how far they can go with this. And And hopefully they'll pull back on the fear porn over the war. I even heard Henry Kissinger talking about ramping it down a little bit. You know, he's pretty high up there in the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. So whether he's speaking on his own or not, you never know. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes from the Antichrist minions, because these are people, and sometimes their programming isn't quite right in line with the Antichrist, so they may say something that seems a little off for them in history, or sometimes they're just playing a part in order to gain, more popularity or allegiance with those people that may be a little suspicious. So if they can pull them away and get them to follow them down rabbit trails or whatever, instead of identifying the Antichrist and his true intention for the world. Because right now, and the Antichrist and his shadow government, they've learned to have many layers of culpable deniability. That's why all you have these myriad of front organizations working for the Antichrist and out there in the front to take all of the flack. But you'll know to a person, you'll just put anyone who's up, way up there, put their name in with the Antichrist in a search engine, and you'll see them bowing down and curtsying or whatever, or having some their picture taken with the great Antichrist. Because the Antichrist is a very popular man. You have to admit, all you futurists out there, the end time Antichrist is going to be have to be popular to deceive the whole world. See, and it's a good thing to be in the world and not of it. So, i.e., not deceived. Okay. All right. So that's monkeypox for you. What else have we got today? Oh, yes, here's another article. Got a lot of articles of monkeypox. The way to stop fake monkeypox virus epidemic is not to get injection. And I thought this was pretty good. That's why I have it in a tab here for you. The virus scare of the day. The fake monkeypox virus epidemic is now being produced at CDC virus factory. It is reported to be spreading across the U.S. and Europe. Lesser mention is made that it exclusively occurs in men who have sex with other men and spreads only within narrow sexual networks. But the media is stoking fear that the pseudo monkey virus, which purportedly has already spread across animal species to humans, will spread in some non-sexual way with humans. But viruses are not germs or microtoxins, are not contagious by airborne spit or mucus, and cannot be spread across species. The only way for human to get an animal virus is by injection. I pause for effect. And I repeat, the only way for a human to get an animal virus is by injection. There are 300,000 varieties of any one virus or flu because of the 300,000 types of different tissues in the human body. A virus is a natural detergent self-made by the human body to mainly purge bacteria. And, you know, I suggest everyone look into what is a virus in reality. Where does it come from? With this little bit of education, it can just wipe out all the fear porn out there, because they're using the ignorance of the masses to deceive them. Okay? A virus is a natural detergent self-made by the human body. See, viruses don't mate. They don't have little baby viruses, right? You can't put them in a petri dish together and watch them produce, baby viruses, because they do not reproduce. They are made by the human body. And then you think, they are made by the human body. But, and if God made man, then he made viruses. He must have made them. He must have created your body to produce these viruses for a reason, and I believe the reason is they're scrubbers. A virus is a natural detergent, self-made by the human body to mainly purge bacteria, called a cold, or remove inorganic chemicals and drugs, called a flu or virus, or toxins or whatever kind. The internal activation of viruses is dependent on seasonal climate temperature change. Now, this is where he gets into thesis. This is his thesis. So, but I'm sure it's better than anything Pharmakia has or any of the fear porn that's being pushed out. And anyway, you could read on this, on about this. The social misperception about virus contagion is similar to that of beriberi and scurvy, which were once thought to be infectious, but were found to be nutritional deficiencies. And that's probably where the majority of disease comes from. Because if you're nutritionally deficient, your body can't maintain itself properly. You can become more susceptible to toxins and even the scrubbers of those toxins. And plus, if now you're being injected with an mRNA reprogramming software, that reprogramming software that is in billions of people on Earth right now, if they're injected with this other monkey virus, what is going to happen? Scary stuff. Yes, for those of you. So all I can say is those of you that took it and are having remorse about it will never take another one, and don't fall for any more of this nonsense. But look for people who are trying to research and come up with ways to counteract the poison and the bad programming that you allowed to come into your body. Yeah. And do whatever you can to keep yourself healthy. Okay, the author goes on. Disregarding all above, media in Spain reports the monkey virus has been found to have spread from human contact in a sauna. Blah, blah, blah. On it goes. Pneumonia can be self-triggered when a person's liver is infected with toxins and overworks liver by eating acidic food. Dr. Beiler, MD, states when the liver is depleted of sodium in order to neutralize its acids, its function may be so severely inhibited that illness results. When there's too much rapid drain of the liver's available sodium, and the liver cells die. And so he's talking about the pox and how it comes. And you know what I say? A pox on the Antichrist. A pox on his shadow government, a pox on them all forever in hell. And I believe that's what they will get. Yes. One of my favorite Disney animations was Robin Hood, a pox on the phony King of England. Part of that song. But it reminds me of today, a pox on the phony, yes, pretender in chief in the White House. And the whole Congress and all of these people that have been elected through cheating. A pox on them all. That's what I say. The symptoms of the pseudo monkey pox are curiously similar with the common cold or flu, fever, headache, body ache, fatigue. The distinctive symptom of monkey pox is a rash that occurs all over the human body, sometimes including blisters. It typically means the liver is so infected that the skin tries to discharge the toxins through its pores. So, eat well, stay healthy, and look for ways to improve your health. And stay away from things that are not natural, like soda pops and stuff. You should be drinking at least a quart of water a day, at least. I've upped my water intake. It's improved my health and well-being immensely. Yes, I had to give up some coffee. So I drink less coffee and more water and pretty much nothing else. Unless the goats are milking, yeah, and then I might have goat's milk. Yes, raw, without any hormones, you know, organic goats. Yes, my goats are organic. They eat weeds. Anyway, that's a good article there if you want to check that out. This on Lou Rockwell, May 23rd, so you can just go back. And the way to stop fake monkeypox virus epidemic is not to get injection. So remember that. My advice to you today is do not take an injection. Yes, especially one purported to have attenuated virus or instruction for your body on what to do with. Yes, to change your DNA. We don't want to have any of that. Okay. It's time to walk away from a hopelessly corrupt federal government that facilitates Biden's destruction of America. Historically, all revolutions arise from societal disruption, chaos, if you will. Case in point is the rise of Nazism. In the 1928 German elections, the Nazis received 2.6% of the votes. In 1930, a year after 29 Wall Street crash, the Nazis received 18.3% of the vote. By November 32, at the height of the Great Depressions, the Nazis were the dominant party with 33.1% of the vote. What we are now witnessing in the U.S. is planned chaos to lay the foundation for revolution. And of course, we can see the revolution is ongoing. Where we'll end up? Well, you all know how I feel about Bible prophecy and living in the land that is represented by the two horned earth beast. And I believe the horns being two distinct powers, one which is like a lamb and one which is dragon speaking. And I believe the lamb-like division or horn power is the people that are not blind, that love the truth. And then the other half is those that are dragon speaking and all of those who are under the spell of the dragon speaking, which is the head of the beast, and that is Washington, D.C. But everyone who follows, everyone who believes, everyone who parrots them, everyone who loves death, yes, that's who we're talking about in the dragon speaking, because not only are they deceived and deceivers, but they are dragon speaking and people who listen to the dragon and are deceived by him. So the Antichrist is alive and well. And who is the Antichrist? Well, he was outed by many before the Reformation. Then hundreds of millions began to recognize when the Reformation broke out in the 15th century. And we, Bible prophecy has unfolded just as the scripture has shown us that it would. And I suggest, if you have the time, if you don't have the time, just keep listening to First Amendment Radio. Here you'll get some good Bible teaching, like the program before this one, a broadcast series that Tom Fress did over the last one that he did over the last decade. We have literally tens of thousands of hours of Tom's broadcast and series that were running continuously. And boy, when I was listening to the one before this hour, I'll tell you what, it was as if Tom was speaking it today, though I know that he was speaking in the era of Obama. But everything he said, if he was on the air today, he would have said many of the very same things as they seem me even more appropriate today than they did in the day that he spoke them. So very good listening. And, plus I have my broadcast, give you a biblical worldview, for 2 hours every morning, followed by news and other, we have good reform teaching, so you get plenty of Bible teaching to be edified and to keep your mind in a biblical world mindset. That's what First Amendment Radio is here for. So hope you're listening through one of our audio streams. You can listen to our app on your smartphone device, on your iPhone. You can go to firstamendmentradio.com/MOBI. for our mobile page to listen. Plus, we have many other ways to listen. Just go to our website and you can discover what those are. So, it's neo-feudalism. That's what they're doing at the World Economic Forum. They're discussing the great, reset where you will owe nothing. And that's what feudalism was. You know, the serfs on the land owned nothing. The laird owned everything, or the lords. owned everything, and you had to give a certain percentage of everything you made to your lord, your landlord. Yes. And they will be the landlords, you know, through BlackRock or through property taxes, however. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they will own everything, and you will own nothing, but you will be happy because the 500,000 people that get to live, will be happy that they're not dead. See, that's their plan. That's what they're planning for you and the whole world, the World Economic Forum. So listen for reports. Listen to David, Knight this afternoon, and while you're going about your business and doing your daily chores to support the kingdom of God and your family, and you'll learn a little bit more about that. I believe David's covering that topic today in his broadcast. I will be listening. Yes. And so should you be listening. And stop listening to all that other garbage out there. Even these halfway, like all of these antichrists or rebellious antichrists. There's plenty of rebellious rebels against the antichrist out there that are running or really dominant on forums like Gab and Getter and all of the so-called alternative social media. You know what I think? I think we ought to just abandon all the social media. I haven't looked at Facebook in many days. And they wanted so most of my Facebook is I can't even look at it anymore because I refuse to give them a cell phone number because I don't want them tracing me, or you know, I don't want to give them that information. Okay, so I'm not on social media anymore. Facebook is gone. Anyone who wants to contact trace me, they want my cell number. That's what they want because that's like, you know, yeah, that's like the key to their contact tracing and global locating of you individually. And why would I want to give that to an organization like Facebook? I wouldn't. So they keep sending me stuff in the mail. I can't even shut down my account because I can't even log in now. So it's up there, but nothing. So if you've been on any of our Facebook pages, and wondered why there's nothing going on there, it's dead and stopped, well, that's why. And I feel better. Yeah. I feel better, not being on it and even looking at it. It's kind of like liberty. I'm being liberated from social media. I'm being liberated from, YouTube and Google. Because the only reason I would search on Google is over something that doesn't matter, or if I want to know what the official narrative according to the Antichrist is, because what only the Antichrist wants me to see, then you use Google. Otherwise, use alternative ways of searching the internet. Okay, well, this hour went by too fast. Let's see if I got anything quickly to do here. Let's see. No quick fix. Severe pilot shortage reduces flights, sends ticket prices soaring. Yes, they killed, maimed, and adverse affected so many pilots that now there are not enough pilots to keep the planes in the air. So we got to raise the rates, people, because when something becomes rare and the money and supply increases, of course, it causes inflation. So it's supply and demand. And that's why, that's how they rob you. They dilute the value of the money so they can spend billions. So I think I calculated it, 40 billion to add to our deficit, 40 billion for the Ukraine is 114, $114, $115. From every man, woman, and child in the United States, 350 million people. So you divide that up 350 million ways, it's $114 and a few cents for each and every man, woman, and child in the United States. How do you feel about that? Yes. Yes. Make sure you fill out your inquisition forms Oh, that was 10 days ago, wasn't it? Oh, no, that was a month ago. You know, April Fool's Day, speaking of. Yeah. And make sure you give plenty of money for that egregious and unconscionable act. That and killing millions of people. That and supplying mRNA death shots for the entire world, or at least the entire American public, if not the whole world. Okay, when we come back after some news and a break here, if you're listening live, we'll be talking about the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy with an exposition. Don't go anywhere.
Remove hesitation. American Family News, I'm Musty Pugh.
The whole building just shook. Like, we thought that either an earthquake was happening or that someone crashed into the building.
What was once a house is now a pile of wood and debris following a house explosion in Pottstown, Pennsylvania on Thursday night. Pottstown Borough Manager Justin Keller says emergency services who initially responded found multiple victims needing care.
We can confirm that there are four fatalities at this time. Two people were transported to regional hospitals for treatment, and we are receiving information that there still may be two people unaccounted for.
The gunman who attacked the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, was inside for more than an hour before he was killed in a shootout, according to law enforcement authorities. Many accused responders of moving too slowly. Lieutenant Chris Olivares, a spokesman for the Texas Department of Public Safety, spoke to Fox News about the investigation into what happened and when.
The initial reports that we received was that the school resource officer encountered the gunman and there was an exchange of gunfire. That has been cleared up. We've been able to confirm that was not the case. There was no encounter whatsoever with that initial school resource officer and the gunman.
Questions remain about the timeline of the shooting, but Uvalde City Council member Lalo Zamora says the whole town is suffering and the media should tone it down.
Let the investigation come through. If something's going to happen, we're going to correct all our mistakes. All our mistakes. And hopefully some other school district will learn from what we did and it'll be not as bad. I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen again, but hopefully it's not that bad.
President Biden is facing backlash for a recently signed executive order. More from Kevin Cork.
While the president is scheduled to visit Uvalde, Texas on Sunday, he will leave behind a bitterly divided Washington when he does, a city still grappling over how best to address the devastating school shootings that have taken place across the country, all while still trying to avoid politicizing such tragedies. And therein lies some of the harshest criticism of the president himself, facing a cacophony of ridicule for signing that executive order, which targets federal law enforcement officers so soon after the Texas shootings and in the midst of a nationwide crime surge.
Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys have filed their opening brief with the Supreme Court on behalf of Denver area graphic artist and web designer Lori Smith.
Lori Smith owns 303 Creative, a company in Colorado that offers graphic and website design services. Smith wants to expand to wedding website services, but she says her religious beliefs would lead her to decline any request from a same-sex couple to design a wedding website.
Wedding websites offer a natural fit for my skills, but in today's culture, that immediately raises the question of promoting not only unions between a man and a woman, but same-sex ceremonies too. I can't create a site that would celebrate views contrary to my beliefs.
Smith also wants to post a statement on her website about her beliefs, but that would run afoul of a Colorado anti-discrimination law. Smith argues the law violates her free speech and religious rights.
I am immensely grateful that the United States Supreme Court will hear my case, and I am hopeful that they will rule in favor of free speech.
Liberals are warning this will not go well for LGBTQ people, adding Smith is seeking a, quote, license to discriminate. But Kristen Wagoner of Alliance Defending Freedom, the law firm defending Smith, says if the government has the power to force Smith to speak messages that she disagrees with, the government can force any of us to do so, be it a Democratic speechwriter to promote the Republican Party or an LGBT website designer to condemn same-sex weddings. I'm Chris.